الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. You are welcome to this week's edition of the program Light of Islam. The program Light of Islam, as you know, is aimed at packaging teachings about Islam as well as clear some misconceptions about the religion. You remember, viewer, last week we started discussing on the topic political rights of citizens in Islam, and due to time factor we couldn't go anywhere, and that is why we even promised last week that we are going to continue from where we stopped. And it is on this note that we have in the studio our regular guest, Dr. Muhammad Sanko Ali Baitillah, a senior lecturer with the Department of Islamic Studies, Nasarawa State University, Kefi, the chairman of Nigeria Association of Teachers of Arabic and Islamic Studies, NATAI, Nasarawa State branch, and the chief imam of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, Jumu'ah Mosque, Bukhan al-Jari, Nafiya, Ustaz. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Now, Ustaz, Islam has guaranteed citizens the political rights which we started discussing in our previous edition. And can you refresh the memories of our viewers on these political rights?
Now, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على محمد أشرف المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، I also want to greet our viewers with the greetings of peace. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله.
Yes, Islam has guaranteed political rights to the citizens of any given Muslim or Islamic state. And we have enumerated the most popular of these political rights. We will refresh our memories by mentioning them. The first is the right to contest for an election.
Okay.
The right to be nominated
okay.
for a contest, and then to contest for an elected position okay. in a political community. Number two is the right to election, to participate and elect your leaders.
Okay.
Number three is the right to establish political parties, to serve as platforms for you to vie for an election. Number four is the right to consultation, that you consult the leaders, you advise the leaders, you objectively criticize the leaders, and they listen to these from the citizens. Number five is the right to freedom of political thought, that you are allowed to join any lawful political thought because you have the right to association. Number six is the right to checkmate, to depose and impeach leaders that you are not satisfied with their conduct or attitudes or delivery
okay.
of the service of leadership.
Okay.
Then maybe number seven is the right to equal access to public service, equal access to employment, to appointment, to positions that are appointable of appointed something. So these are generally the political rights guaranteed by to citizens by Islam. Yes, last week we mentioned six, we added one today. So these are the seven that it would be good that we enlighten our viewers to serve as our contribution to voter education.
Okay, now let's look at it from the elementary level now. You've mentioned the first one, which you said right to be nominated
yes.
for political contest.
Mm.
Can you shed more light
on that first one so that we take it one by one.
Yes, thank you very much for this. This right is defined by political scholars, and the Muslim political theorists also have their own definition. I have chosen a very simple one, that the right to contest is the right conferred by the law, that is the Islamic law, since we are talking about Islamic law, is the right conferred by the law to qualified citizens to vie as candidates for elective positions to represent their nation in managing its public affairs. Let me come again and then give some few explanations. Mm-hmm. That it is a right conferred by the law on qualified citizens to vie as candidates for elective positions to represent their nation in managing its public affairs. When you look at this definition, there are basic or important things to note. Number one is that this right is guaranteed by the law, by Islamic law. So it has to, we have to mention the basis for which this right is guaranteed, either from the text or from the inference of scholars, from the textual evidences, or generally the adilla or sharia evidences. Number two, it says that it confers this right to qualified citizens. It means that there are people or some persons, some citizens that might not be qualified. So it means that there must be fulfillment of this qualification by individuals to vie, that is to contest, as candidates for elective position. When you say for elective position, it means that there must be election. So there must be election. After the vie, there must be election, and this will be by some people, whether the general populace or by some selected people among the citizens to elect them. And then what is the purpose of that? They serve as representatives of the citizens. They represent them to do what? To manage their affairs. So when we talk about this, this is what we mean by the right, that Islam has provided that it is lawful for people who qualified certain conditions to contest for election, so that people will now come and vote for them as an indication of their trust in them to represent them in managing their collective affairs, to bring about the general welfare and public interest of that political community, be it a state, a nation, or a senatorial district, or political constituency. So that what you can vie for may be the president of the Islamic State, or even the Khalifa, in Islamic political theory, the overall leader of the Muslim Ummah is called the Khalifa. Then you have the leaders of states. And now that we have nation states, then under that, under the nations, we have states. Under states, we have local governments and all this. So the right is the right to contest for election in all the elective positions. I think it's clear.
Okay. Now, I haven't heard the first one, which is the right to be nominated. Then, if I'm not mistaken, I think the second one is the right to contest for political position.
Yes.
Haven't been nominated, then you contest for a position.
Yes. They go together.
Okay.
To contest, before you contest, there should be nomination. And then it's either, we will come to discuss this in detail, is either some people nominate you, mm-hmm. or as we have it in the modern politics, you indicate your interest. That is self-nomination. And then you now go to a platform. These are the political parties. They screen you, and maybe at that level too, you will have what they call primary elections. And when you win, then you stand the flag bearer of that political party to contest with other candidates in other political parties. So they go together. So it is the right to nominate, you can nominate. Or to be nominated, you can, another person may nominate you to contest for election. So in either way, this is the same right. Yes. So maybe the next we talk about is we said it has to be established by the law.
Okay.
And here we are talking about Islamic law.
Okay.
So in Islamic law, and we said Islam has guaranteed, what is the proof for that, that Islam has guaranteed this right? Political theorists, Islamic political theorists, have mentioned the incidents of Saqifa of Banu Sa'ida in Medina. Immediately after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, some members of the Ansar gathered in a place of assembly they call Saqifa of Banu Sa'ida. They started discussing who succeeds the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in leading the Muslim Ummah. On knowing about that, some of the Muhajirun went to meet them there, and they met them discussing. So at that incident, there were nominations. Some people nominated the Ansar before the coming of the Muhajirun, Abu Bakr, Umar, Abu Ubaidah, and the rest. Before they come there, one among the Ansar, Sa'd ibn Ubadah, stood and addressed the Ansar. That you know, since the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, you people are the most eligible to succeed him in leading the community of the believers because of your contribution to the state.
No.
So then they said, okay, the easiest thing to do is that we nominate you to be the leader of the believers. So when the Muhajirun came, they also discussed. Abu Bakr told them that no, the leadership should be among the people that first accepted Islam. These are the Muhajirun. And there were discussions. In fact, one of the most greatest political activity happened there. You can call it political conference. And they share opinions and argue on who is the best candidate for the Islamic Khilafah after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the point of reference is that the Ansar nominated Sa'd ibn Ubadah. After that, when the Muhajirun came, after a long discussion, Al-Hubab ibn al-Munzir, who is one of the Ansar, was convinced that it is the Muhajirun that are supposed to be the leaders. Then the Ansar be the ministers, the assistants. So when he made this address, they kept quiet. Then Abu Bakr nominated Umar and Abu Ubaidah that you can pay homage to Umar or Abu Ubaidah. Immediately they stood up and said, no, we cannot lead a people that you are one of them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was your best friend. You have been with him in the ghar, as Allah mentioned, huma fil ghari. Thani Islani is huma fil ghar. During the hijrah, he was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Prophet was not able to come to lead prayer, you are the one he is asking to pray, so we can be there. Then one of the Muhajirun then say, oh, Abu Bakr, give us your hand. We give homage to you. And this is how they all give homage, that is, they elected and accepted Abu Bakr as the Khalifa, that is the successor of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in leading the affairs of the Ummah. So the point of reference is that you can see that the Muslim Ummah, the first generation of the Muslim Ummah, have nominated. This is the legislative basis for nomination. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he appoints most world leaders, but the entire leader of the Ummah, there will be no that during the time of the Prophet, he is the spiritual and worldly leaders of the Muslim community. So after him, you now need somebody. So this is the basis. And since they have all agreed with consensus on this, nobody said, no, you should not nominate. They have accepted that some of them nominated, and some were nominated. And nobody said this is contrary to Islamic something. This is a precedence in the modern language of law, or what we call ijma' al-sahaba, the consensus of the sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the basis for election. And from this we understand a textual basis, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did leave the arrangement for selection of leadership to the Ummah, to attend to it through mutual consultation. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the committee of the believers, that wa amruhum shura baynahum, that they manage their affairs through mutual consultation. That is why the Prophet did not say, after me, so-so-so person should be the leader of the believers. He didn't say that, so that the Muslim will do it and agree on what is best for them at what time. I want to shed another light here, that our viewer may remember that we have mentioned earlier that in Islam we have two spheres of activities. We have what we call fixed sphere, where you have specific texts that you must not go contrary to. You must act according to them. And then we have what some scholars refer to as occasional elasticity. This is the dynamic sphere of Islam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us only general guidelines. The details, it is left for us. All we need to ascertain is that whatever we will do is not contrary to the general guidelines given to us. So nomination of candidates and then asking them to contest does not go contrary. Rather, it is in consonance with the principle of shura, which is mutual consultation. That is why the Ummah agreed on this. This is the basis for this.
Okay, viewer, if you just join us, the program is Light of Islam, and today we are discussing on political rights of citizens in Islam with Dr. Muhammad Tanku Ali Baitullah. Now, sir, can you explain to us other political rights guaranteed to Muslims in Islam?
Yes, I think it is not to... We didn't finish with this. Let us finish this one. We have started this one. I think we should complete the discussion on this one before you can skip, and let's go to the next question.
Okay. Now, share with us the basis of these rights in Islam.
Yes, this is what we have just finished now.
Okay. In Islam, who nominates candidates for political contest or election in Islam?
Yes. So, as we have mentioned in the definition of contest, we said that there is going to be election. So, even this nomination is done by somebody. Who are the people that nominate candidates? Who has the right to nominate? Okay. Here there are two things. Number one, somebody can nominate himself. Say that I am nominating myself meaning declaring interest. I want to be so-so-so or represent my community in so-so-so position. The second issue is that some people can do that, say that so-so-so person, that Malam Abubakar is eligible to be the chairman of so-so-so local government. This is nomination. In the Islamic tradition, there are people that are called Ahlul Halli wal Aqd. Ahlul Halli wal Aqd. These are the elites, so to say, who determine the political activities or the leaders of any community. In our books, they say these are the people that select and enthrone leaders, especially the overall leader. They call them Ahlul Halli wal Aqd. These people today, some people refer to them as the senators and representatives or members of House of Assembly. This can be referred to as Ahlul Halli wa Al Aqd. For these people to have this capacity, they must also fulfill some conditions. What are these conditions? Scholars mention numerous conditions. Number one is justice. Number two is knowledge of the candidate and the welfare of the state or politics. Number three is wisdom. These are what Al-Mawardi mentioned. Then Al-Juwayni added that they should be of male gender. We may discuss this. Then he added, since it is in a Muslim community, which is an ideological community, they have to be Muslims. Then they have to be people of discretion. They have that they have attained a certain level of knowledge. Then they, of course, they must be citizens of the Islamic State. These are the people that can nominate somebody. When they nominate, it is a testimony that that person has the qualifications. For this one, we don't have much problem. If one is to nominate himself, is it allowed in Islam for somebody to say, I am vying for this? Here scholars have two general opinions. But then, the general principle in Islam is that Islam discourages covetousness to leadership. Islam does not agree that you long so much for leadership, because when you do that, you might not be just to the community. It may be that it is for self-aggrandizement. So Islam discourages that. So, yes, this is the basis. And there are textual evidences for this. Mm-hmm. Abdurrahman ibn Samra, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised him, he said, لَا تَأْمَرَنَّ عَلَى اثْنَيْنِ وَلَا تَوَلَّيَنَّ مَا لَيَتِيمِ. He said, do not by yourself, do not appoint yourself as leader for people. He also told Abu Dharr, إِنِّي أَرَاكَ ضَعِيفًا. I can see that you are weak. لَا تَأْمَرَنَّ عَلَى اثْنَيْنِ. Okay, this is the hadith of Abu Dharr. The hadith of Abdurrahman ibn Samara, the Prophet ﷺ told him that لا تسأل الإمارة. Do not ask, do not seek for leadership. For if you are given after seeking for it, you may be left alone without assistance from Allah. But if it was given to you, meaning that some people nominated you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist you to discharge the responsibility the way it is. So this is the basis. But Muslim scholars, this is the second opinion, and we match between the two opinions. Some said, no, you can do that because we have some precedences. There was a day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, tomorrow I am going to give a flag to somebody who loves Allah and His Messenger, and Allah and His Messenger loves him. The Sahaba spent that night, everybody was longing to be that person. And that is a position of leadership. So, some said that. Modern scholars do say that because of the nature of our society, that it is difficult to say that nobody, the righteous should not come. If we said nobody should come out to vie for leadership, then the rogues among us will be those to come out for positions of leadership. They say it will be halal based on two conditions. Number one, if you know that you are capable. Number two, if you are doing it for the welfare of people, not for your personal interests. If these two conditions are fulfilled, then you can come forward, present yourself for an elective position. Then if it is in political party, they can now take you, screen you, and see whether you are qualified. When you are qualified, they present you.
Malan, time has gone again. Maybe, inshallah, next week we will continue from where we start, especially to talk about who is even eligible to contest for a political position and other issues contained therein. This is how far we can go on this week's edition of the program, Light of Islam. Next week, inshallah, we'll continue from where we start. On behalf of our guest, Dr. Muhammad Tonko Ali Baitullah, a senior lecturer with the Department of Islamic Studies, lecturer at the University of Kefi. My name is Abu Bakr. I pray saying, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh. I forget the memory. I can't read the memory. Somebody already said, I'm going to kill you. Kuma kariga kartin ne mamaki din idan nace zan maka tambayar ba za ma